3, which is where we left off this morning. We'd like to reread a couple of these verses tonight to begin with. Ecclesiastes chapter number 3. Read here again the same passage from this morning, beginning in verse number 1. Ecclesiastes chapter 3, verse 1. To everything there is a season, and a time to every purpose under the heaven. A time to be born, and a time to die. A time to plant, and a time to pluck up that which is planted. A time to kill, and a time to heal. A time to break down, and a time to build up. A time to weep, and a time to laugh. A time to mourn, and a time to dance. A time to cast away stones, and a time to gather stones together. A time to embrace, and a time to refrain from embracing. For our time together this morning, we thought about stones. We thought about slinging stones. We thought about how this verse teaches us there are times to gather stones together. And there are also times to cast stones away. Another way to look at this verse is that it is telling us that there are times that we are to be stone slingers like David as he faced Goliath and was able to take Goliath down by slinging the first stone and bringing him to the earth. It is always good to remember that it didn't kill him. He actually had to go and do that with the sword. But at any rate, he caused the giant to fall with that first stone that he slung. And it reminds us how we are to be stone slingers ourselves against the giants that we face in life, of failure, of fear, of persecution, of storms and trials, of those things that would stand against us to take away our faith, to take away our trust, to take away our joy, those kinds of things. We need to face them in the power of the Lord and sling stones of prayer, of trust, of reliance, of the Word of God, of the promises of God against those giants until they fall. Let us be gathering stones together like David. But then we also understand from our time together this morning that there's a time to cast stones away. And that means that we are tempted at times to gather stones together, not for the purpose of slaying giants, but instead for the purpose of harming one another or hurting one another. We're gathering ammunition, if you will, against them to give ourselves reasons as to why we should be against them, or reasons why they don't deserve whatever it is we think they don't deserve. In the case of the woman caught in adultery this morning, the Pharisees had decided already that she did not deserve to live any longer because of what she had done, because of what she had, the sin that she had committed against God. The reality is that there are times when God decides that himself, when he decides to take someone out of this world, out of this life. Some are his, some are not. And that's his business. He chooses to do that. But we do not stand in that place as judge. We do not get to decide that a person no longer deserves to live because of what they've done, you know, a sin they've committed, those kinds of things. They were certainly unwilling to show any kind of grace. We all are deserving of hell. We all are deserving of spending eternity therein. And so we are tempted to gather stones together, to sling stones of accusation, of judgment, of doubt, of condemnation at others. And let us see that Ecclesiastes here is telling us, don't gather them, but instead cast them away. Spread them away from you, that you're not tempted to pick them up and sling them at one another, because we need to show grace. Christ could have, if he had chosen to. He had all the righteousness. He met the condition, but he chose not to sow the first stone either. As long as a person has breath, there is hope of restoration. There is hope of forgiveness. As long as a person has breath, there is the hope that they can be once again right with God, or for the first time, if they haven't been saved yet, right with God. As long as they have breath, let us understand that that is the case. And we all have experienced that kind of forgiveness. So we've learned that there are times to gather stones, there are times to cast stones away. But as we were studying and looking at things regarding this thought that the Lord had given us, we came across a couple other passages where stones are used to be a blessing. And something else that we can learn from, turn with me tonight from here to Exodus chapter number 17. Exodus chapter number 17, we'll read here in verse number 8. So often we are interested in hurting each other with our stones, but I want you to see here in this passage of Scripture that there are two men that are involved here, actually three, but the two men are able to use a stone to, instead of inflict damage or to fling hurt and accusation or judgment and condemnation, they're able to use a stone to be a comfort and an encouragement and a strength to someone that they loved and respected. Exodus chapter 17 in verse number 8. Then came Amalek and fought with Israel in Rephidim. And Moses said unto Joshua, choose us out men and go out, fight with Amalek. Tomorrow I will stand on the top of the hill with the rod of God in mine hand. So Joshua did as Moses had said to him and fought with Amalek. And Moses, Aaron, and Hur went up to the top of the hill. And it came to pass when Moses held up his hands that Israel prevailed. And when he let down his hand, Amalek prevailed. But Moses' hands were heavy. And they took a stone and put it under him, and he sat thereon. And Aaron and Hur stayed up his hands, the one on the one side and the other on the other side, and his hands were steady until the going down of the sun. And Joshua discomfited Amalek and his people with the edge of the sword. We find here two men that had the ability to gather a stone together, and instead of inflict pain, hurt, instead of inflict judgment or condemnation upon Moses, they used this stone to be a great comfort. We find in this passage that Joshua was soon to, of course, become the leader of Israel after Moses, and he was cutting his teeth, so to speak, as the general of the army. He was leading. He was leading the fight down in the valley as the Amalekites had came against them. And Moses, Aaron, and Hur went to the top of the mountain. And as long as we know the story goes, as Moses held up his arms with that staff, with that rod, Israel prevailed. Israel was winning. Israel was pushing back the Amalekites. Israel was taking the field, and Israel was being victorious. But as we well know, even though the staff held little weight, even though it held little as far as a burden is concerned, even if we were to be instructed to hold our hands up empty, after a while they begin to ache, they begin to feel heavy, they begin to lose strength. And so Moses, over the course of time, even though Joshua was winning as he held his hands up, as they began to sink, as they began to come down under the weight of this burden, we see that they began to lose. And that means that the Amalekites would get the upper hand. They would push back the Israelites. They would start to win, and they would start to be victorious themselves. And so Moses, it was imperative for him to keep his hands lifted up in the air. It was imperative for him, because God was the one that was actually fighting the battle here. A theme that we have been upon now several times. But it's God. That's the only way to explain this. How else could Israel prevail when Moses' hands were up and be defeated when his hands were down? It was God that was fighting the battle through the Israelites here. And we see that Moses needed his hands held high. As they began to fall, as they began to be weak, as Aaron and Hur that were there beside Moses saw that Israel began to lose when that happened, here's what they could have done. They could have started to sling stones of accusation against Moses. They could have stood back and said, Moses, aren't you equal to the task? Moses, keep your hands up. Moses, you're not doing it right. Try it like this. They could have stood back and hurled stones of judgment and said, someone else should hold the staff. Someone else more fit, someone else more able, someone else stronger. They could have stood back and hurled stones of condemnation and said, man, look at what a terrible leader you are because you're allowing your people down there to suffer just because you won't hold your hands up. That would be an example of gathering stones to sling them and inflict pain and judgment and condemnation and hurt. They could have used their stone in a negative way that would have certainly not helped the situation in any capacity. Would those things have helped? Would that have encouraged Moses to get his hands up? Would that have encouraged Moses to be strong and lock out his elbows and do the best that he could? No. Would have discouraged him greatly, of course. Now, throughout the course of leading Israel, Moses had been the recipient of many verbal assaults. He had had many stones slung at him. Not too long after they exited Egypt, we see the children of Israel slinging stones at Moses and saying, "You should have just left us in Egypt. At least we had something to eat. At least we were fed. Out here we've got nothing, not even water to drink," until, of course, God turned the bitter water sweet. They continued to say things like this to Moses throughout his time in the leadership of Israel. And really, those verbal assaults, those stones as they are slung, they say more about the slinger than they do about the intended target, don't they? When you witness that, when you hear it, when you read it in the Word of God, it says more to us about the person that is saying it, like the Pharisees this morning that were ready to stone the woman. Said more about them than it did about her, didn't it? And so it is in our life too. If we are willing to sling stones of discouragement and accusation and condemnation at people in our life rather than try to help, it says some things about who we are. Again, they could have done these things that could have demeaned him and his leadership. But what does it tell us that he did? Verse number 12. It says, "But Moses' hands were heavy, and they took a stone and put it under him, and he sat thereon." They took the stone, they had gathered together, and they put it under Moses, said, "Here, let's make this job a little easier for you, Moses. Let's take part of the stress and the difficulty out of this and sit down. Doesn't matter. As long as your hands are held up, Israel's winning. You can sit down, Moses. Sit on this rock. This stone that we've gathered for you and brought to this place. Sit here that you may be more successful, that you may be more able to meet the task at hand." They chose to put their stone under him to strengthen him and to encourage him. And like this stone, our words can be used to support, strengthen, and encourage each other. Instead of being hurtful, instead of being judgmental, instead of being condemning, our words can be used to put a stone of strength and comfort, a stone of encouragement under our fellow brothers and sisters in Christ, our family, perhaps others that we know in this life as well, our fellow man. We can use our words to be stones of encouragement, support, and strength, instead of slinging them at them to try to make them hurt. Even in failure, we should be looking for a place to put our stone to be an encouragement and a source of strength to others. We should be looking for a way to strengthen, looking for a way to ease the burden, looking for the way, instead of sitting back and judging and condemning people for whatever we think is wrong in their life, and we may not have all the information, we may not know all that's going on. Instead of sitting back and thinking like that and saying those things in our minds or under our breath and thinking ourselves superior, let's look for a place to put a stone under them. Let's put a place, something under them that they could be encouraged and strengthened by so that they can continue the task at hand, raising their children. Maybe, or doing their job in the ministry, whatever it may be. Let us be that source. Let us sling stones of encouragement to put them under people that they might be able to meet the task at hand, because the burdens that we all face are heavy, aren't they? I mean, we're trying to hold up under the weight of them. We're trying, like Moses with the rod, to lift them up. And as long as we lift them up, we find victory in our life. We find the ability to overcome. We find we're winning the battle. But over the course of time, doing it by ourselves, we see that it gets heavy. And we need that support and encouragement. We need somebody to show us that they care, that they love. Put a stone under us. We might be able to sit down and face this a little bit easier. Have a little bit more strength and support and stability underneath us. Let us look for ways to do that. I know that as a father, it is important to me and helpful to me when my family does that. I know that for my wife it is important as well, and try to do that, but fail most often and not do it as much as I should. But it is important that we do that for each other. Instead of accusing, why didn't you do this for me? Why didn't you do that for me? Instead of saying, you failed here and you failed there, let's look for stones of encouragement to put under them and say, let me help you. Let me help you bear the load. Let me help you find strength. Let me help you through whatever task is at hand or whatever burden is upon your heart and in your life at this moment. When that is not enough, we see in verse number 12, after they took a stone and put it under him, and he sat thereon, tells us here, and Aaron and Hur stayed up his hands, the one on the one side and the other on the other side, and his hands were steady until the going down of the sun. They not only put that stone or slung that stone of encouragement and support underneath of him, but then his hands were still weary. His arms were still weary under the weight. They came alongside him and they said, let us help. Let us help bear this weight. Let us help get you through this difficulty and this problem. We need to be using our stones for good and for positive purposes in life, rather than, again, looking down our nose at people, or rather than being judgmental and negative about the things going on in life. Let us be that rock of support, of strength, of help, of encouragement. Let us be the one that will come alongside and hold up the arms, if necessary, of those that begin to hang down. And everybody, I'm telling you, everybody in this room tonight needs a stone put under them. I don't care who you are. I don't care how strong you feel. I don't care what you have going for you in life. There is something in your life in which you need a stone put under you tonight, because your hands are weak and weary in dealing with whatever it may be in life. One way that we can put those stones under, of course, is by praying, by letting people know that we care, by showing grace and encouragement to them, by sending cards and whatever else the case may be, by showing them that we love, care for, and genuinely want good things in their life to happen. We need to have those stones put under us, and we need to be putting them under other people. We need to be lifting them up as much as we can and helping. Let us gather stones for this purpose, that we might encourage and strengthen and support instead of slaying and hurt with our words or with our stones. Now turn with me over to Joshua chapter 4. We find tonight another example. Another example of how we can use our stones in a very positive, in a very worthwhile, in a very meaningful way. Not only do we have the ability to gather stones tonight to be a support and a help to others in that capacity, as we saw Aaron and Hur did for Moses, but we also see here in Joshua chapter 4 another example of how we can gather stones together for the benefit of others. Verse number 1. And it came to pass, when all the people were clean passed over Jordan, that the Lord spake unto Joshua, saying, take you 12 men out of the people, out of every tribe a man, and command ye them, saying, take you hence out of the midst of Jordan, out of the place where the priest's feet stood firm, 12 stones. And ye shall carry them over with you, and leave them in the lodging place where ye shall lodge this night. Then Joshua called the 12 men whom he had prepared of the children of Israel, out of every tribe a man, And Joshua said unto them, pass over before the ark of the Lord your God into the midst of Jordan, and take ye up every man of you a stone upon his shoulder, according unto the number of the tribes of the children of Israel, that this may be a sign among you, that when your children ask their fathers in time to come, saying, what mean ye these stones? Then ye shall answer them, that the waters of Jordan were cut off before the ark of the covenant of the Lord. When it passed over Jordan, the waters of Jordan were cut off, and these stones shall be for memorial unto the children of Israel forever. And the children of Israel did so as Joshua commanded, and took up 12 stones out of the midst of Jordan, as the Lord spake unto Joshua, according to the number of the tribes of the children of Israel, and carried them over with him unto the place where they lodged and laid them down there. And Joshua set up 12 stones in the midst of Jordan, in the place where the feet of the priest which bare the ark of the covenant stood, and there they are unto this day. This would be a great example of gathering stones together for a very positive purpose. Joshua instructed, of course, at the direction of the Lord, to have these 12 men gather stones together, not for the purpose of hurting, not for the purpose of judgment, not even for the purpose of giant slaying or for comforting and helping others. But instead, we see the very purpose here is that they would pile them up in memorial to the working of the Lord in their lives. They were crossing Jordan to begin to possess the promised land. They were coming into that place that they had longed for, that they had been promised to be delivered to for many, many years. And as they went over Jordan, Jordan's waters rolled back, that the priests and everybody that followed him would be able to cross thereon. And we see that Joshua says, as you go through, you 12 men, you grab you up a stone, carry it on your shoulders, and we're going to gather them over here, and we're going to use them to build a monument. We're going to pile them up one upon another, and we are going to assemble them together so that in time to come, when our children ask us, what mean ye by these stones, we'll have the ability to tell them the story of what God has done for us this day and for what He has promised to do for us in time to come. And certainly we see that they did those things. It was important that the people not forget. And it was important that the generations to come would have a visual reminder or a cue for them that when they saw it, they would say, what does this mean? Once they'd been told the story, of course, then they could look upon it and know it themselves and be reminded of what God had done for them in the past. We have a tendency to forget. We have a tendency to let it slip our minds. And so God says, build a memorial. They gather stones, they build a memorial. And it says there in verse number 9, it was there unto this day as Joshua, the book of Joshua is written. And the people were able to be reminded. The next generations were able to learn. And so we see another great example of gathering stones together for a positive purpose. Let us gather stones together today for this reason. Let us gather stones together today that we might build memorials or monuments in our lives, not to ourselves, not to what we have done. Many men have had that done for them over the course of time. And we might argue about whether it's deserved or not that Washington and Lincoln have a monument and a memorial in Washington, D.C. Of course, that's all good stuff to remember. We can argue about whether Martin Luther King or others deserve to have a monument and all of those kinds of things. There are many in this country. We're not talking about building memorials or monuments to ourselves, though. Not about who we are or what we've done or what we've accomplished. But instead, this was to point them back to God, to His deliverance, to His blessing, to His power, to His working in their lives to bring them into this place. We likewise need to gather stones together and make monuments in our lives that our children may ask us in time to come, what mean ye by these stones? And I think that overall, and this might make a better conclusion than to mention it now, but it comes to mind now, so we'll mention it now. Overall, that is a great question for us to ask. You think about it. We look at the stones that we've gathered, and we think and we say, what mean ye by these stones? Did we gather them to sling them at others, sling them at giants? Have we gathered them that we might be a blessing to others? Have we gathered them to be a memorial in our lives so that others can rejoice in the power of God? And that's what this was for. We need to use our words to testify unto our children, to build memorials in their minds, to show how great God has been to us in our lives and what He has done. Let them hear it in our prayers. Let them see it in our daily conversations. Let them ask as they look upon our Bibles that have so much perhaps written in them or so well loved and used. Why do you like this passage so much? Why is your Bible so worn, or whatever the case may be? We need to gather stones together to build a memorial, to build a monument unto what God has done for us in our lives, that we might showcase it to other generations, that others in this world might see something different in us. How we look, how we present ourselves to the world can be stones, if you will, that we've gathered. The places that we go, the things that we do, how we separate ourselves from the world and their entertainment and their gatherings and their things can be a memorial, can be a monument, can be the gathering of stones so that when others ask, "What mean ye by these stones?" we can answer. Understand that the call to separation in the Word of God is not a call to feel superior to everyone else in the world. But the call of separation upon the people of God is so that there is a difference, there is a memorial, there is something in our life that people see and say, "That's different." Why is that? What mean ye by these stones of the different clothes that you wear? What mean ye by these stones of the different way that you talk, of the different places that you go or won't go? What mean ye by these stones? And if you have an influence or you're around other people very much, you're going to get those questions. They're going to see those memorials being built, and your children do too. Your children do too. At first, they will just accept it and see it as, "This is what I've always done. This is what mom and dad have always done." But as then they are exposed to other things, and no matter how much we shelter them, they are exposed, they will begin to see, "Well, wow, this is really different. Mom and dad do things really different. Not everybody does it this way." It becomes a monument. It becomes the gathering of stones together that we might be able to showcase the handiwork of Almighty God. We won't turn there, but in 1 Samuel chapter 7 and verse 12, Samuel does the same thing. That's where we get the Ebenezer from. He builds a memorial because Israel had been delivered. They thought they were going to die, but instead God delivered them again from the hand of the enemy, and Samuel makes a monument. He builds a memorial. He calls it his Ebenezer because it would stand in memoriam unto the time when they had been delivered, the time when they had been saved by God's almighty power and grace. Let us gather stones together for this purpose, for this reason. Let us see that the purpose for gathering stones together must always be positive and never negative. It doesn't work. Now again, that doesn't mean that we don't stand forth with the truth and say, "God says this is right and God says this is wrong." That is the correct thing to do. That is what we must always will do, and by His grace we will continue to do. But let us also understand in the application of those things to the lives of individuals that none of us are perfect. None of us can meet the standard 100%. Let us, with grace and humility, deal with our fellow man. So as we have seen today, can plainly identify, there are different uses for our stones. Those stones in our lives can be spiritual things. They can be good spiritual things. They can be blessings. They can be used to fight giants. They can be used to support and strengthen and help others. They can be used to build monuments and memorials that when other people look upon it, they can see Christ and what He's done for us. These things can be our actions, our attitudes. They can be our disposition in life and can, again, point people unto Christ. We often use all of these things that we've just said. We often use them to harm other people unfairly, to judge them silently, or to be against them in some way publicly. But I'm convinced, as we have looked at this today, that it doesn't have to be that way. We can use the stones gathered for the proper purposes and then cast them away, scatter them away when they are being gathered by our flesh, when they're being gathered by Satan in our minds, when they are being gathered by the things that go on. Thought about this afternoon. Sometimes the stones that we gather are those little bits and pieces of information that we're looking for and that we want to see and that we want to gather and we want to hold against people. We can use those things, or we can scatter them away and say, "You know what? None of that's helpful. None of that's beneficial. Let God deal with it in their heart as He would need to. And let us encourage and help and strengthen and be an example as God would allow us to. Let us choose to gather stones as David and the children of Israel. Let us choose to scatter stones so we don't use them to harm. And let us in this life see the importance of these lessons that we have learned, because we most assuredly do have the opportunity every day to either gather stones or scatter them away. Let us understand the right way to handle these things, because they are important in our life that we get it right. We get it right. The best example that we can be to the world of Christ is to emulate Him in compassion and love and mercy, and leave the judgment, condemnation, and all the rest of the stuff up to Jesus Christ, Almighty God. Let them deal with it through the Spirit. Bring them to Christ if they see fit through our example, through the gospel that we share and that we let them know. It's not mean, and it's not casting a stone to tell people they're going to hell. It's the reality of the Word of God. We do it with love, understanding that without the gospel and without grace, we'd be right there with them. So let us handle it in that way. We're not better than anybody else. Let us gather stones together, as Ecclesiastes says. There's a time to gather and there's a time to scatter. And though our thoughts tonight have perhaps been a little bit shorter than usual, that's what the Lord